The following worship service was recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community in Rock Springs, Wyoming, on Sunday, January 12, 2020, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Let us pray.
Lord, we ask that you hear our prayers. Share our joys, our concerns, and have mercy upon those who suffer. We are thankful for our many blessings. We know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Strengthen this ministry that we might bring the good news to those in our community who are hungering and thirsting. Let your word light our path and guide our footsteps. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Today we'll be reading Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Then Jesus came to Galilee, to John at the Jordan, to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The word of God for the people of God.
The Gospel of Matthew is fast moving. We get Jesus, we get the lineage, and then we get the birth, and then we get him going, and now we get John the Baptist is on the scene, and now we're going to have the baptism of Jesus, and it just is fun-filled, isn't it? Well, maybe not so fun-filled, but it is fact-filled. Now, I want us to ask the question today, what is baptism? What is baptism? And I'm going to start with talking about some things that it isn't and some things that it is, and looking at what happens here in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew is a Levite tax collector, disciple of Jesus. He's writing his gospel, the good news, after the fall of the temple. He's writing to the Jews that are left over, that have become Christians, but that are also kind of straddling the fence as to wanting to revive Judaism, to revive that law, that other stuff that had been there before. And now Matthew is writing into that, and Matthew is needing them to see that Jesus is who he said he was. They need to know that Jesus is the good news, that he is the Messiah, that he is the fulfiller of that, and that they can live, grow, and teach, and be Christians. Now remember, by the time Matthew writes this, they're not Christians. There are no Christians. Zero. No Christians. Only believers and unbelievers. There are no Christians. We don't get that tag until many years later at Antioch when we are first called Christians. That's later. But right now, in this point, at this point, it's believers. Now, I want you to look at something else. Kind of, if you've got your Bibles, stick your finger here in chapter 3. But I want you to go over with me to chapter 28, the very last chapter in Matthew's gospel. And I want you to catch up with me at verse 18 of Matthew 28. Now, everybody should know that what this passage of Scripture is. We call it the Great Commission. This is where Jesus is telling the church what to do. Well, he's telling his disciples who will birth the church. But this is the Great Commission. Notice what he says. And Jesus said, he came to them and he said, all authority in heaven is given to me. Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's the Great Commission. In the church, in our faith journey in Methodism and in most of Protestantism, we believe there are two sacraments. One of those is communion, and the other one is baptism. The two things that we find in our scripture that Jesus said we should do. One, eat and drink as often as you will in remembrance of me. And here, in the Great Commission, to go and to baptize. So part of what baptism is a following of the commandment of Christ. That it's something that we as disciples should do, is baptize those who receive Christ. But I've been wondering about some things, and was texting Carrie some yesterday afternoon about my ponderings and wonderings. And sometimes when you're sitting for about 4 hours between a hockey game with not much else to do, your mind tends to wander, you know. There's only so much junk food you can eat, and it's cold in a hockey rink, so you try to find a warm place. So I was quite honestly bored. Does anybody besides me get bored? Oh, no, none of you. You're just such great fun. Yeah, right. How many of you, when you get bored, your mind wanders around some? Yeah, I mean, it goes kind of just a little bit of everywhere. Well, anyway, I tried to stick to my text, and Carrie had already told me, cook your sermon, was one of the things she had told me to do because I told her I was bored. Well, I've been cooking on it, so I started messaging. And one of the things that I have pondered is, why was Jesus baptized? Have you ever thought about that? No, not really. How many would say yes? Raise your hand, because your heads aren't working. How many have never thought about why would Jesus be baptized? Yeah, but it happens. Number one, Jesus was sinless. He was the Son of God. So then, why did it have to happen? All of these things, and you get into that thought, and as far as I'm, with me as a clergy, I go all kinds of places, and the reality is, he tells us. We don't have to ask, we just need to read. He tells us why he had to be baptized. It wasn't an option at all. Now, first of all, it has nothing to do with the fulfillment of prophecy concerning the Messiah. There is no prophecy about the Messiah needing to be baptized. Two, he was without sin. So that wasn't it. Three, there isn't any precedence other than John's baptism, which he was told to do to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. And that is who Jesus is. So Jesus says to John, said, we got to do this. And John says, it ain't happening. You need to get this right, Jesus. I'm the one that needs baptized. I don't need to baptize you. And Jesus says, whoa, John. I'm telling you what needs to be done. I'm the boss. And John's saying, okay. And Jesus says, let's have it done in order to fulfill righteousness. That's why Jesus was baptized. To fulfill righteousness. What is righteousness, church? How many of you want to fulfill righteousness? Anybody? Nobody? Maybe you're afraid to say, so you kind of look like a little wounded, or you're kind of looking like deer in the headlights of a car this morning. Not enough coffee. You can always come early and get some in the kitchen. We'll caffeinate you. Just come on in. Righteous, come to Sunday school. I'll wake you up. I'll challenge you to stay awake. It's small enough room that I could actually tap you if you fall asleep. Or I'll get Kent to tap you on one side and Anita to tap you on the other side. We'll get you woke up. The thing is, what is righteousness? Righteousness is following the will of God. Plain and simple, righteousness is following the will of God. In other words, I am submitting my will to God and I am following the will of God. That's righteousness. That is following the will of God. How many of us know what the will of God is for us? I'll give you checklists for 2 weeks on what the will of God is for us. To do what? To love one another as He has loved us, what we love one another. That we put God first in our life and that we submit ourselves to His purpose, His will, His way, His presence, His spirit, His guiding. He knows better than we do. He can set out a better path for us. So Jesus is saying it's about fulfilling all righteousness. So John said, okay, we'll do it. So John baptizes Jesus, and what happens? We read it. A dove comes down. And I like the way the New Revised Standard, it says, and it alights on him. It's a dove coming down, and the alighting is a touching. It alights on, it comes down, and it touches him. Now, if you are a Levitical person, which means you're of the priestly generations, and you understand the Bible, you understand the Old Testament, you remember the covenant on Sinai, you remember the covenant of the Old Testament, and now all of a sudden, heaven opens, God's voice is heard, a dove, the Spirit of God, descends and lands and touches on Jesus, you would be stroking out right then. You would be straight back at Sinai in your mind. You would say, this is God. This is God. God's at work. He's back on the mountain. He's opened up the heavens, and He showed up. He's down here, and He's put His hands on this guy. His Spirit's down here on this guy. And now we hear Him, and He says, this is My Son, the Son I love, now in whom I am well pleased. In whom I am well pleased. Three things He said about Jesus. Number one, He identified Him as My Son. The second thing He said, this is My Son whom I love. And the third thing, and He was pleased. He fulfills righteousness in submitting Himself to the will and call of God. And God says to him, I am pleased. Folks, can you help me? Follow the example found here and stop saying I'm proud of the people you love. And start telling them you're pleased. Believe me, they would rather hear that than anything else you can say. And it's not semantics. So now this has happened. This is My Son in whom I'm well pleased. So baptism is part of the covenant. Baptism is part of our submission to have something done for us. Jesus has John do it that we cannot do for ourselves. It is our submission to the will and plan of God, entering into that covenant. And the ministry of Jesus begins. Some things baptism is not. Number one, baptism will not ensure your salvation. Baptism is not necessary for salvation. Questions? It's different. You need to understand there is not enough water in this bowl or in the Green River to wash your sins away. The only thing that will wash your sins away is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But baptism is an outward and visible sign of an inward spiritual grace, signifying to everyone that you've submitted to God, that you have become a part of a covenant. But baptism isn't salvation. That's why we baptize babies. We're baptizing them into the community of faith. How many of you have been to an infant baptism? Come on. You've been to an infant baptism? Okay. Did you realize that there was an obligation you entered into? What was that obligation? To nurture that child. Raising children is part of a community. It isn't about dumping it on the parents. You're entering into that covenant to be a part of that. And we as a church promise to have a place, to create a space, and to work with that. And to work with that family and uphold them with our prayers. So what is baptism? Baptism is a covenant. It isn't the salvation. It is the submission to that covenant and entering into that covenant with God. What is baptism is not? It is not salvation. Is baptism necessary? No. How do I know that? How many of you thought baptism was necessary? Had to have it. Okay, so if it was necessary, we have a problem at Calvary. We have Jesus being crucified by the Romans and a thief on each side of him. And one of those thieves says to him, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to that thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And we have no recorded history of angels or people coming and taking down the thief, rushing him down to the river, baptizing him, bringing him and putting him back on his cross. He wasn't baptized. And here's another one. Baptism isn't something that Jesus did. Jesus never baptized anyone. But it was something that Jesus submitted to. And it is something that Jesus said we should do. So what is baptism to us? What does that have to do with us? It means that in order for our baptism to be meaningful to us, we have to realize that we have entered into a covenant. And that covenant is to fulfill righteousness that is humanly impossible. That's why the gift of the Holy Spirit is so important to us as Christians today. How do we fulfill that role of righteousness? By entering into that covenant of humility and allowing be done for us what we cannot do on our own. Accepting the sacrifice of Christ, which we cannot do on our own. Sacrifice, the love and grace of Jesus, saves our souls. It's something we have to submit to and accept. And baptism isn't the washing of sins. It's the recognition that to something else I must submit and to give my heart. So when we come to baptism of the Lord Sunday, so often we wonder why we're doing this and why we're remembering this, because this is significant that Jesus himself would submit himself to his baptism by John. And it would remind us that Jesus, hold on to this one, Jesus never does or says for us to do anything that he isn't willing to do himself. He didn't just teach it by word. He led it by example. And if the Son of God submits to covenant and relationship and allowed John to baptize him, what should stop us from entering into covenant and submitting our will to God? Because I got news for you, church. I can't get there on my own. I've got to have people who will pray for me. I've got to have people who will hold me up. I cannot get there. How many of you can get there on your own? How many of you can get through one single day on your own strength really. I can't. I'm sitting down looking at next week's calendar and going, holy smokes. How many of us realize that we are here this morning by the very grace and strength of God to be here in this place? It's not an accident. It's not. So what is baptism? It's also God's grace, because He also enters into that covenant with us. And Jesus says, baptize them, and remember, I'm going to be with you always. When you enter into covenant, just like the baptism of a baby, you're not alone. How many of you have been baptized? Okay, guess what? We're in it together. It doesn't matter if you were baptized as an adult, if you were baptized as a child, you were still baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's the power of God at work, not the power of some person, some man, or some woman. It is God's power at work who brings us together and unites us in that covenant of His grace and love by submitting ourselves to that baptism, or having us submitted on behalf of someone else, or submitting someone on someone else's behalf. That is baptism. It becomes a means of grace, where God is at work in a place where you don't fully. How many of you have ever looked at the statistics of the Methodist Church? How many of you have followed the Methodist Church for a long time now? Do you know how confused we have been about baptism and membership? I have lost track of how to write you in the book. I don't know whether to write you down as a professing member, a baptized member, a part-time baptized professor. I've lost track. And you know what I've decided? Do you believe in Jesus? How many would say amen? How many of you have been baptized? Say amen. That's enough. Let's don't make it more complicated than that. Because why do we want to classify? Jesus didn't classify. He died for each and every one of us. He was risen from the dead for each and every one of us. And the fountain is open to all who will believe and be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There we go. End of the day. It's about covenant, love, grace, and relationship with God through Jesus Christ and with one another. That's what baptism is. It's about being part of the family of God, sharing in a common event in our lives, a common covenant in our lives that Christ entered into Himself and calls us to bring others into in His name. That is baptism. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. I bet somebody's already looked at their watch and say, man, he was fast. It's because we've got something else we're going to do. We're not done. Whether you have been baptized or whether you haven't been baptized formally or informally, Father, I would ask that you bless each one of us in covenant, first and foremost, of love and grace. That we would recognize that you are indeed the Son of God, the one in whom you were well pleased. And that we enter into a covenant with you by accepting His sacrifice, accepting His love. And Father, as a means of continuing to grow in that covenant, we observe sacraments of Holy Communion, the body and the blood, in remembering the sacrifice of Christ, but also in baptism we remember it too. We remember that He Himself did it. And we also remember that He called us to share it. So, Father, we're going to come to a time in our service now that in a response to the word today, the font will be opened. An opportunity to come is going to be given. And, Father, they'll have an opportunity to touch the water which has been blessed in the font, or to have the sign of the cross marked with the water upon their foreheads. And, Father, I pray that we would open our hearts, that we would remember maybe not the actual act of the baptism, but the covenant of grace we become a part of, and the family of Christ that we become a part of. Let us lift our hearts before you in praying in Jesus' holy name. Now may God's grace and peace go with you. Remember, you're part of the covenant community. Brothers and sisters in Christ, may you go in peace, grace, and mercy, covenant through love and peace. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rocksprings.umc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.